light in the sky. Who made the moon appear in the night? Who made the stars like a twinkling of an eye? Who made these things for us to rotate to the right? Allah, oh Allah,
Allah,
Almighty.
Allah.
بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال: قلت يا رسول الله، أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. قال: لقد سألت عن عظيم، وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله تعالى عليه: تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا، وتقيم الصلاة، وتؤتي الزكاة، وتصوم رمضان، وتحج البيت. ثم قال: ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة، والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار، وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل. ثم تلا: تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون. ثم قال: ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت: بلى يا رسول الله. قال: رأس الأمر الإسلام، وعموده الصلاة، وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال: ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ فقلت: بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال: كف عليك هذا. قلت: يا نبي الله، وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال: ثكلتك أمك، وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي وقال: حديث حسن صحيح.
On the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنه, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of a deed which will take me into paradise and keep me away from the fire. He said, You have asked me about a tremendous matter, but indeed it is easy for one for whom Allah the Exalted makes it easy. You should worship Allah, associating nothing with Him, establish prayer, fast the month of Ramadan, and make the pilgrimage to the house. Then he said, Shall I not point out to you the gates of goodness? Fasting is a shield. Charity extinguishes sin as water extinguishes fire, and so does the prayer of a man in the middle of the night. Then he recited, They forsake their beds, invoking their Lord in fear and hope, and spend of that we have provided them, and no soul knows what has been hidden for them of satisfaction as a reward for what they used to do. Then he said, Shall I not inform you of the head of the matter, its pillar, and the peak of its elevation? I said, Yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, The head of the matter is Islam, its pillar is prayer, and the peak of its elevation is jihad. Then he said, Shall I not inform you of the foundation of all that? I said, Yes, O Messenger of Allah. So he took hold of his tongue and said, Restrain this. I said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be blamed for what we talk about? He said, May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh. Does anything topple people into the fire on their faces, or, he said, on their noses, except the harvests of their tongues? Narrated by Tirmidhi, who said it was Hasan Sahih. Notes about the hadith. The house mentioned in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and makes the pilgrimage to the house refers to the Kaaba in Mecca. And the verses mentioned, they forsake their beds, invoking their Lord in fear and hope, and spend of what we have provided them, and no soul knows what has been hidden for them of satisfaction as a reward for what they used to do, are the 16th and 17th verses of Surah As-Sajda, the Quran's 32nd chapter.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. I'm Imam Nadeem Suleiman Ali with you here on Muslim Vibe. And we come your way, alhamdulillah, or inshallah, on Monday, or excuse me, every Sunday from 1 until 2:30, sharing with you information and taking your calls when available, and also just seeing what's going on in your part of the country. We come to you with a great deal of sadness today regarding our brothers and sisters in Bloomington, Minnesota. There was an explosion around 5 a.m. local time at the Masjid of Dar al-Farooq Islamic Center in Bloomington, Minnesota, and according to Al Jazeera, caused damage but did not cause any casualty. Worshippers had been preparing for the Fajr prayer when the attack happened, and there were between 15 and 20 people inside the Masjid at the time, according to the Star Tribune, a local newspaper. And the FBI says it's an agent to track down who was behind the attack, which it says was caused by an IED, an improvised explosive device. The masjid, like any other in the U.S., received threats of attacks prior to the bombing. And for many, the response or lack of it revealed a double standard. Some question why the U.S. President, Donald Trump, failed to respond to what they described as a terrorist attack targeting Muslims. And Mark Foman, the editor of the progressive-leaning Mother Jones magazine, says Trump's silence was due to the target of the attack. You know, in normal times, the bombing of a house of worship with an IED would not go unacknowledged by the President of the United States, he continued, after posting a list of previous attacks committed by far-right attackers that Trump had also not responded to. And Marty Paris asked, did I miss Trump's statement of concern for the victims of this bombing and members of the masjid, adding, does he care? And so when we look at the social media response, but Trump, again, was not the sole target of anger, with some railing against the purported lack of media coverage. Some U.S.-based outlets did publish stories on the attack, but it did not assuage the anger. A Twitter user named Brown Sada wrote, someone bombed a mosque in Minnesota recently. You probably didn't hear about it because the mainstream media likes to demonize Muslims. I'd like to get your thoughts on this attack in Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, and we extend our prayers and dua to our brothers and sisters in Bloomington. And we pray that, you know, Allah brings the perpetrator to justice, and that he protects the Muslims throughout the country during this time, during these trying times for the Muslim community. Because just as during the previous administration, and even when you look at President Bush, there was just a sense of that we will protect you from harm. Even after 9/11, you had President Bush visit an Islamic center. President Barack Obama, he continued his outreach to the Muslim community. But this president, again, tries to do his best to distance himself from any positive mentioning of the Muslim community. The only time he mentions Islam or the Muslims is when he's trying to get either oil or the access to the minerals in Afghanistan. So, you know, we have to, again, look to Allah as our protection. And as far as voting, we vote five times a day. You know, we vote five times a day, and that's the real ballot that we need to be casting on a daily basis and seeking the protection of Allah from those who basically acting out of ignorance for the most part. I've always stated that this country has the potential to rival Al-Andalus in regards to the cooperation of the Muslims, Christians, and Jews. But you have this right-wing element and also the Zionist element that will attempt to separate people, separate the people based on their socioeconomic status, separate people based on their race. They will separate people in an effort to maintain control of the overall society. And so we have to be of those who are consistent in practicing our deen, because that's really going to be the solution to many of the problems that this society is facing today. You know, Allah is raising a strong Muslim community in this part of the world, and many people who, again, who don't understand Islam or who don't seek to understand Islam, they will engage in behaviors such as this, the bombing of an Islamic center, of a masjid, while people were getting ready for prayer. In Canada, there was a shooting. And, you know, just there's been an uptake of attacks on Muslims and Muslim communities, specifically since this man took office. And there is a correlation. There is a correlation, and it pains me to see Muslims backing this fool. And yes, he's a fool. And so, you know, what we have to look at is we have to protect ourselves. And, you know, as Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz says, by any means necessary. You know, and so we have to be protective of our families, be protective of our masajids, be protective of our homes, because it's only going to get worse. And when we see these types of things, the bombing of a mosque, people getting ready for Fajr. And, you know, imagine had some people been killed, and this, you know, all you hear is crickets from the White House. You know, crickets. You don't hear any type of message of condolences or anything. And so it gives you an idea of who this man is. And you see the people he surrounds himself with. The Bannons, Stephen Miller. We'll try to place a little clip on Stephen Miller. He's been a racist, anti-immigrant, Islamophobe probably since he's been in Pampers. You know, he's been nurtured, you know, on hate. And so we have to recognize that these are the type of people who are in power. It's Al Sharpton, he calls them James Crow Esquire, you know, Jim Crow with a nice suit on, where they were very articulate. They don't have that Southern draw, well, except for Sessions. You know, he still has Sessions, what's the name of him? Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions. You know, he still he still has that old Southern type of look, the Bull Connors type of sound. And one of his first acts is to go after things like affirmative action and to look at talking about white people being discriminated against. When affirmative action was designed to right some of the historical wrongs that were done primarily to African Americans, but what they did is made it so that anybody who is considered a minority would be able to benefit from certain advantages. And so it's to right historical wrongs, but there has never been anything given specifically to the descendants of slaves. So affirmative action is like putting Band-Aid on cancer, in my opinion. You know, and so we have to continue to push for the justice for our ancestors who were enslaved in this country by federal law. So there has to be a federal remedy for the federal insult. You know, state law, you know, segregation was a national institution. Slavery was a national institution. You look at the lynchings that took place under the guise of so-called the law. We look at the people who died, needlessly in the riots. You look at Tulsa and Rosewood and all of the other places. And so all of these are interconnected. And so this same type of mentality is now rearing its ugly head towards the Muslim community. And we who have been the victims and descendants of victims of this racial hatred, we are best equipped for dealing with these type of problems. And so I'd like to get your opinions on these things. Again, there's been a bombing inside Bloomington, Minnesota, and you know what we wanting to do is just get your opinions on these things, because it won't be it's not the first and it won't be the last issue that the Muslims, that we as the Muslim community will be dealing with. With Al Jazeera, they have put together a lot of information, and we will, just work to change these things. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you see a wrong, you speak out against it. Change it with your hands. If you cannot do that, then speak out against it. And if you cannot do that, hate it in your heart. Hating it in your heart is the weakest of faiths. Let's see if we can say
this is but one with a serious
on Islamophobia.
Part of a new campaign by the city to combat Islamophobia. Tell people how they should intervene if they witness someone of the Muslim faith being harassed or threatened. First step, approach the person being targeted and start up a conversation. Talk about the weather or the movies, anything to keep the victim calm. Just as important, ignore the aggressor so as not to agitate the situation.
Stand up against Islamophobia and take a proactive step. It shows that people care.
The local Muslim community has welcomed the posters as a step in the right direction in educating people on how to handle situations in a peaceful manner.
People don't know what to do if they see someone getting harassed. And I think it's important because it's not so much like the harassment itself, but like encouraging people to find a way to intervene in these situations where they see someone getting harassed without so much escalating the situation.
The posters were designed by a French artist. Boston is one of the most inclusive cities in America, attracting students from all over the world to its universities. But it's also witnessed some ugly acts of aggression against Muslims. In 2015, there were 5 cases of hate crimes against Muslims just here in the city of Boston. Last year, that number jumped to 19 cases. But that's just hate crimes. There's an untold number of other incidents of harassment or intimidation against Muslims that probably never get recorded. The city is quick to point out this isn't just about Muslims. The campaign teaches peaceful intervention techniques that can be used for any type of harassment against any group.
The city has always been committed to making sure that Boston is the city for people of all backgrounds, and we understand that public harassment across all identity groups is something that, you know, people frequently experience in public spaces. We wanted to make sure that we address that in a way that's engaging and accessible to people.
The poster is now a sign of the times in a city trying to be proactive in de-escalating incidents of hate. Gabriel Osando, Al Jazeera, Boston.
Yes, I'd love to get your thoughts on that campaign, Alhamdulillah, campaign on dealing with Islamophobia. Dealing with Islamophobia, and the bullying that takes place as a result of that. And it's really a anti-bullying campaign because, you know, kids who are, for instance, in public schools, and most Muslim children go to public schools. You know, we have tons of Islamic schools, but most Muslims' children go to public schools. And so we have to arm them with the necessary information so that they're able to deal with bullying from a religious perspective. You know, again, your thoughts. You can call in at 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. You're in tune to Muslim Vibe, and I am Imam Nadeem Suleiman Ali, and we'll be with you until about 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to call in or if you're already in queue, you can press 1. Again, talking about the bombing of the masjid in Bloomington, Minnesota. Bloomington, Minnesota is right outside of Minneapolis. And so, you know, we have to be conscious and be aware of these types of incidents, which, again, take place. And so, if you're in queue, you press 1 and like to hear your thoughts and I'll possibly offer some solutions. Because as Muslims, you know, we will be targeted for the most part because the hate is coming from the top. You know, this president ran on hate. Hate of immigrants, talking about building a wall, hate of Muslims, you know, he's the same president that, that bought, what did he buy? He bought a 4-page ad for the Central Park young men who were wrongly accused of rape and attacking a woman, you know, calling for the death penalty for them. Four-page ad. Same one said that there were Muslims who were dancing on the rooftops after 9/11. You know, so he has been a hate monger for a long time. And so what is the best way to deal with people like this? When you look at the people, again, who he surrounds himself with, the people of Steve Bannon. We look at, you know, the fact that, you know, he can't even really keep his chief of staff, you know, and even the general that he just hired for the new chief of staff is a known Islamophobe. You know, he was one of the ones, in support of the Muslim ban. So your thoughts, call in. Our number again here in the studios is 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891. You're in tune to Muslim Vibe. And again, we're with you here on AM 360. We'll be with you, inshallah, until about 2:30. Again, Donald Trump surrounds himself with these people who are totally ignorant and very angry, and now they're in power. And so we have to basically be very careful and be prayed up for the most part because, you think of that World War II poem by the priest who said, "They came for this group. I was not of that group. I did nothing, said nothing. They came for that group. And I was not of that group, and I said nothing." And then when they came for me, because you didn't go help out the other people, there was nobody there to help you out. And so just because they're coming at after the Mexicans, and we're not Mexican, and they may come after, say, the non-indigenous Muslims. Oh, I'm not from Arabia. I'm not from Pakistan. I'm not from here. And then pretty soon, you know, they say, oh, those are Muslims too. Those are Muslims too. And so we have to understand that there is a big problem in this country right now, if you haven't already realized that. Again, one of the main people that's surrounding, he may be the next communications director for Donald Trump. The guy's name is Stephen Miller, long history of racism, since they have him documented since high school as being a racist and anti-immigrant and Islamophobe. Let's see if we can pull up. This is from Democracy Now. This is a profile of possibly the next communications director for the president of the United States or accident of the United States. And our number in the studio again, 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891. One of the things about these,
here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we turn to Stephen Miller, President Donald Trump's senior White House policy advisor. Over the weekend, Miller appeared on the major networks to defend Trump's travel ban. Speaking on the CBS program Face the Nation Sunday, Miller said Trump's authority will not be questioned.
The end result of this, though, is that our opponents, the media, and the whole world will soon see, as we begin to take further actions, that the powers of the president to protect our country are very substantial and will not be questioned.
Viewers took to Twitter to blast Miller's appearance as scripted and robotic, but Trump expressed glowing approval, tweeting, quote, "Congratulations, Stephen Miller, on representing me this morning on the various Sunday morning shows. Great job," unquote. Several reports have identified 31-year-old Stephen Miller as the architect of Trump's controversial executive order that temporarily banned people from 7 Muslim countries from entering the United States. Miller reportedly also wrote Trump's aggressively nationalist inauguration speech along with Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, and in July penned a draft of Trump's acceptance speech to the Republican presidential convention. Miller's central role in the Trump administration has been drawing praise from white nationalist leader Richard Spencer, who famously coined the term alt-right to describe the insurgent right-wing movement that's attracted white nationalists and supremacists. Spencer told Mother Jones last year, quote, "Stephen is a highly competent and tough individual, so I have no doubt he'll do a great job," unquote. Prior to serving as top aide to Trump's presidential campaign, Stephen Miller worked as a former staffer for then Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, the new attorney general, who has a record of opposing the Voting Rights Act, supporting anti-immigration legislation, and making racist comments. Well, for more, we're joined by two guests. In Miami, Florida, we're joined by Fernando Penedo, a national political reporter at Univision. His new piece is headlined, "How White House Advisor Stephen Miller Went from Pestering Hispanic Students to Designing Trump's Immigration Policy." And in Los Angeles, we're joined by Cynthia Santiago, who attended Santa Monica High School with Stephen Miller. She was the first Latina president of the school's associated student body. Santiago is currently an immigration defense attorney who recently assisted people impacted by Trump's travel ban at LAX at the Los Angeles airport. Fernando and Cynthia, welcome to Democracy Now! Fernando, let's begin with you. Why did you take on this as a subject for Univision?
Well, as you can imagine, for us, immigration topics are very important, but that our audience wants to know. And, well, it turns out that Mr. Miller, he went to this high school in Santa Monica where he studied. He woke up politically and developed his hardline positions. At that time, he started writing in articles for the student newspapers and other local newspapers. He contributed to conservative radio shows. And in this high school, it turned out that Latinos are the most important minority. So we decided to take a look into a closer look into those years and talk to students who knew him.
And talk about what you found. Univision obtained a video made by four of his high school classmates for an audiovisual production class at the time. The video fragments of a brief 90-second speech by Miller during his junior year at Santa Monica High School in the spring of 2002, including a controversial reference to the job of janitors.
Yes, exactly.
Let's play it.
I'm Stephen Miller. Some of you may or may not know who I am. We're not talking about that right now. I'm the only candidate up here who really stands out. I will say, and I will do things that no one else in their right mind would say or do. Am I the only one who is sick and tired of being told to pick up my trash? We have plenty of candidates who are paid to do it for us.
That was Stephen Miller speaking in his junior year at Santa Monica High School in 2002. Now, Donald Trump's senior White House policy advisor, comment on what he said, Fernando. That quote, if you could go ahead.
Okay, I talked with one of his best friend at the time, Chris Moritz. He said it was just a joke. But actually, he made that comment before around 2,000 students in the amphitheater of the school. And many students I interviewed, they said that this comment was perceived as offensive because the janitors were all people of color. It turned out that students that I interviewed, they described Miller as a provocateur. Some said that he enjoyed offending people, and some even described incidents, altercations, in which Miller said things like, speak English, this is America, to students who spoke Spanish in the hallways. And that's what they told me.
Cynthia Santiago, when did you come to know Stephen Miller? Talk about his views in high school, your experience of him there, and what you're seeing today with him in one of the highest positions in the White House advising President Trump.
Yes. When I was in high school, about my junior year, which is the same junior year of 2002, I first came across an article that he had written for a local newspaper. And in that article, he made reference to Latino students that he basically said lacked basic English skills. And in that same article, he made a reference that there was some causal link that the reason that would be the reason why these Latino students were not in the honors classes. He pointed out that there was a small number of Latino students in honors classes, and therefore it was because of their lacking basic English skills. These comments were very degrading because he made an overgeneralization. He didn't make a link, or he didn't even try to address the issues of academic inequality and disparity in access to those classes. Those are some of the statements he made, and that's when I became aware of him and aware that he was starting to provide more commentary. He was starting to have more interactions with students, and he also made those statements to some students about speaking English only in this country. And so those were signs.
Can you elaborate on that?
Use generalizations of people.
Cynthia, can you elaborate on that about the issue of speaking English only and his views on this, what he talked about in high school?
So in high school, I was also a member of Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano Chicana de Aztlán. It's MECHA, and it promoted cultural heritage and pride in your background, but it also promoted, an access to higher education. And he was known to go to those meetings and stand outside and harass some of the members that were trying to leave those meetings. So I believe that the statements about English only were because he viewed these groups, the groups of pride and heritage, as being groups that didn't promote American values.
Can you talk about a speech he gave? I think you were on the stage at the time of this speech when he ran for election in Santa Monica High School.
Yes, so I was a candidate for the student body president, and I was also on stage. And when he said the speech, immediately students were reacting to him. And you can tell that in the video that students were booing and students were getting louder to because they were extremely, you know, upset about this kind of statement because a lot of students perceive these as statements of racist statements because the janitors at our campus were individuals of, you know, Latino and African American janitors. It also
and for
know,
those who couldn't quite hear the video, I just at the end of that we played, Stephen Miller said, "Am I the only one sick and tired of being told to pick up our trash when we have plenty of janitors who are paid to do it for us?"
And generally, most students also felt, you know, even though we were teenagers, that, you know, that we viewed our custodians, our janitors on campus as people deserving of dignity and respect. And those statements were not, you know, they were quite the contrary of what, you know, you would treat staff and individuals and human beings.
I wanted to ask Fernando Pinedo about what radicalized Stephen Miller. Now, some might be saying, why are you going back to high school? That's a real stretch. Now, for someone like, what, President Trump, he's 70 years old. But for someone like Stephen Miller right now, he's 31 years old. So high school is just is less than 15 years away. I wanted to turn to comments by Stephen Miller during his appearance on Fox News Sunday, speaking about recent immigration raids.
Right now, as a result of the president's order, greatly expanded and more vigorous immigration enforcement activities are taking place. It is true that Operation Crosscheck is something that happens every year, but this year we've taken new and greater steps to remove criminal aliens from our communities.
Before we go back to Fernando, I wanted to ask Cynthia, what you're doing now, what, 15 years after high school, is you are involved in challenging what many have called, including President Trump, the Muslim ban. This, what Stephen Miller has so clearly defended and many say helped to craft, your thoughts?
Yes, it's very unsettling that a person with these types of views or a person, you know, that expressed these views many years ago and still seems to express them is in a position of authority. And if he was part of that team that crafted this, this is unsettling because it truly doesn't represent a person who values what it is, the balance of power, rights in this country, the branches of government. And so it is unsettling and frightening that someone could be in a position as he holds without some extreme vetting to determine if he's able to be in that position. Given his views.
And finally, Fernando, what radicalized him? He talks about reading the works of Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association. What was your sense from what you found?
Well, my sense from what I found is that he caught the attention of well-known conservatives nationally, and he spoke of them as mentors. So I guess he was encouraged by these well-known figures to follow this path. He has said that it was this reading about the Second Amendment, about gun rights, that made him discover these ideas. And then the thing is, when he started writing a lot, he paid a lot of attention to issues of race and culture. He started this war against multiculturalism. And he started advocating for assimilation, total assimilation. He finds it un-American to express other identities that he doesn't perceive as American. That he perceives them as foreign.
Fernando Pinedo and Cynthia Santiago, we thank you both for being with us. Fernando with Univision, Cynthia attended Santa Monica High School with Stephen Miller, currently an immigration defense attorney in Los Angeles. And that does it for our show.
Yes, that's Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! And just giving us a profile of Stephen Miller, one of the primary advisors to this accident or president accident. 45. Your thoughts. You can call in at 515-605-9891. And if you're already in queue, you can press 1. And we started the show off talking about the bombing of a masjid as worshipers are getting ready for Fajr prayer in Bloomington, Minnesota. And we want to get your thoughts on that as well. And, you know, that if, as we know, the area of Minnesota, there's a lot of our brothers and sisters who hail from Somalia. And so, you know, again, I'm sure the masjid was primarily people who were from Somalia. And so, you know, we, you know, have to understand that our Muslim brothers are from all over the planet, but this type of behavior is totally unacceptable. And when you look at the fact that there has been no response from the White House, you don't get any type of support, of message of support or condolences from this White House, and it just shows you, you know, who these people are. So, you know, again, you know, we have to be of those who are protective of one another. We have to be involved in helping to educate the society about Islam. We'll be right back at you, but first, this message.
Stop the music.
There's so many of us, all we need, it's just to show each other that we appreciate each other. And we have the resources, moral resources, spiritual resources, intellectual resources. We have all the resources right here among ourselves to establish proper people and give them proper roles, fitting roles in our own community. And they will be good models, good supervisors for us. You all tell me that you're proud of me. You're happy now. You got an imam. You got a leader you can trust. I like to hear that. But I would feel much better if I saw you trusting each other too. Because I'm one. I can die anytime.
Why did you take you have on to this trust as a each other. For you?
On the next episode of Getting to Know the CWSC, we'll have two special guests, Imam Q. Amin Nafari, the founder and national representative of the Islam in America movement and executive director of the Muslim Empowerment Institute. And you for a discussion on the simplicities and complexities of Shura Bainahum in organization, leadership, and management. We'll be looking forward to taking your calls and comments. Join me, your host, Mukhtar Mohammed, on Friday, August the 4th at 9 a.m. for a discussion you won't want to miss. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zakia Muhammad, founding director and CEO of IMAS, Institute of Muslim American Studies, inviting you to join me in supporting CWSC and AM 360 Radio with your tax-deductible contribution. Visit cwsc.us or call in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Aisha Kareem, CEO for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join me in making this month a giving month and help us continue building our American Muslim intelligentsia, including a National Speakers Bureau, National Resource Directory and Human Resource Network, National Scholarship and Cultural Preservation Program, internships, and of course, our flagship broadcasting center, American Muslim 360. We're believer-supported and ask you to include CWSC and AM360 in your tax-deductible contributions. Visit CWSC.us today and make your gift or call 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Here sharing with you information and gathering your thoughts. There was a bombing of a masjid in Bloomington, Minnesota, right outside of Minneapolis. And so it's called the Dar al-Farouk Islamic Center. There was a lot of damage caused, but there weren't any casualties, alhamdulillah. And again, they were gathering for the Fajr prayer. And so this is one of the latest incidents that has taken place against the House of Worship. And not one word from the White House, not one word from the people in power. When we look at the church bombing in Birmingham many years ago, where the young ladies were killed getting ready for prayer, it pains me to even remember that. I was a young boy when that happened. And so we have to recognize that that same type of mentality still exists, but they are aiming their venom at the Muslim community. And again, they don't care, because we go to a masjid, sometimes I make a little game out of counting the nationalities of the people who are praying around me. And sometimes I can get up 5 to 10 nationalities. As a therapist, I see people from well over 30 nationalities, Muslims and non-Muslims. And so we, as Muslims, we live in a pluralistic world for the most part. We live in a pluralistic world. And again, when we look at the Prophet's last sermon, alayhi salam, his last sermon, he talked about how the white is no better than the black, and the Arab is no better than the non-Arab, and the non-Arab is no better than the Arab, and we're only better by piety. We're only better by establishing our good character. That was his last sermon. And so as Muslims, our job, and as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, his only job is to improve our character. And so when we look at the Muslim community, it is not a monolith. And we don't want to make it a monolith. And many brothers and sisters, they want to, some of us want to stay in the black camp. Some of us want to stay in the Pakistani camp. Some of us want to stay in the Arab camp. Some of us want to stay in the Bosnian camp. Some of us want to stay in the Turkish camp. But when we're standing on the day of judgment, there's not going to be any camps. There's only going to be the righteous and the doomed for the most part. And so we need to practice plurality here. We need to practice plurality here. He said he made us into nations and tribes, that we may get to know one another, not that we may despise each other. Because when the people come at you, they won't say, oh, that's a Somali masjid, or that's a African-American masjid. They're going to see mosque. And so I really want us to heighten our awareness, not be paranoid, but just have a level of hypersensitivity to the fact that there is a level of racism that's being tolerated from the White House on down. Because they're glad to have a white man in the White House. Because that's really the underlying issue, is that, how dare a black man be in the White House? And so they would have elected, Howdy Doody, to replace Barack Obama. And so that's basically who they have, Howdy Doody, Mr. Twitter machine. And so this man doesn't have enough empathy to send out a statement towards this community whose house of worship was bombed. That is sad. That is telling. And so we just played a clip from a Democracy Now! Showing one of his advisors, Stephen Miller, has been a venomous racist and Zionist probably since, again, his diaper days. Stephen Bannon, who has, known racist, Breitbart News, known racist and Islamophobe and conspiracy theorist. He also, Alex Jones, has press credentials if you look at his stuff. he's crazy. He's crazy, you know. And so, and these are the people that this man takes information from. And, of course, Fox News, I can't even watch that. It gets me sick even to watch that, because you have billionaire racists who are sponsoring these people, billionaire racists who are quietly working. See, all of this noise that Trump is making, in reality, it's a distraction, because in the background, the people who know what they're doing, they're changing policies. They're changing laws. They're changing regulations. And so even if you look at the court systems, they're appointing judges all on these lower courts. We focus on the Supreme Court, all these lower courts. There'll be judges in there for the next, for probably the rest of my life. You know, so you got judges. If you appoint a judge and he's 40 years old and he lives to be 80, he can stay. That's a lifetime appointment. And so there's a lot of work going on, brothers and sisters, that we really need to look at. If you'd like to call in, 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891. If you're already in queue, press 1 and we'll bring you up if you have a question or a comment about what has been going on. There was a program put together by Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera has been doing a lot of good work, and that's why it took them off the air in the United States. But there's still an online presence, and so we'll play this program. Is called Islamophobia in the USA. And it's really interesting because they're interviewing some of the Trump supporters, and they're very vocal about their racism. So let's see if we can bring that up. And this is a production by, produced by a brother named Abdullah Elishami. And he's, I guess, an independent producer, but he produced this for Al Jazeera. And the name of the program, again, is Islamophobia in the USA. And we're going to play a portion of it. And if you have a question or comment, you can press 1 and we'll bring you up. We're going to play a portion of this program right now. Let's see if the technology will cooperate. Islamophobia in the USA. Oh, you say not in America, right?
Ideology akin to Sharia law that cannot coexist.
Constantly telling us, no, like, go back to your country. You don't belong here. This is our America.
Secure the borders. Let's get us safe. Make America great again.
Got an ISIS flag hanging up over the Atlanta Capitol building. We go in, take out the bad guys.
Our country cannot be the victim of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad.
Donald Trump came to power partly by capitalizing on the resentment of some Americans towards certain ethnic and cultural groups. He claimed, for example, that thousands of Arabs and Muslims stood here in New Jersey and celebrated when the Twin Towers fell. The attacks on the World Trade Center in September 2001 contributed towards a climate of fear in America, and the fear of terrorism and Islam have since become major issues in America. Some lobbyists and politicians have exploited this to the absolute full.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
I am Abdullah El Shami, and I'm in the U.S. to examine the way Trump and his supporters and a close network of writers, campaigners, funders, and politicians combined to bring about this critical moment in American history. The Southern American states have a history of discrimination going back to slavery and are where there's been the biggest rise of what's become known as white supremacy. The state of Georgia has some of the most liberal gun laws in the U.S., and the past 20 years has seen a growth in this kind of armed militia groups. Trump's campaign appealed to them, promising to protect their American way of life. I managed to gain access to one such group, the Georgia Security Force.
GSF, we show up, we'll kick ass and go home and drink beer. That's what's up.
The group was on a training exercise and allowed me to observe. GSF see it as their duty to defend their country and constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Yeah, got an ISIS flag hanging up over the Atlanta Capitol building. GSF is in the neighborhood. We go in, we clear it, take out the bad guys, rescue the civilians, the hostages.
This is a message to the cowards who call themselves ISIS. We the people are bloodthirsty. We the people will have no mercy. We the people refuse to be the victim. No longer. We are the predators, you the prey. The rivers will run red with the blood of those who target Americans. Fire!
Given the opportunity, I would shoot them before they had a chance to harm other people, anybody.
I asked Chris what would happen if a Muslim asked to join the Georgia Security Force.
Yeah, it's not limited to the color of a person's skin. It's based upon the context of the character. Let me see. I'd have to think because I'd be leery. I have to do everything I can to make sure that we're not infiltrated.
Or they have to be Christian.
Nah, give me a second. Let me think. That's a tough question.
Hey, Scorpion.
Yeah.
What do you say about the Muslims attempting to join GSF?
Muslims attempting to join the GSF?
Yeah.
What scares me, you know, about Muslims joining is that I know that there are rogue elements that wish to do harm to people. And if I just don't see it, it's not as prevalent or widespread than other religions or beliefs or systems. So, you know, it's a tough call.
I was honestly quite surprised when Chris agreed to my meeting his group. His attitude to Muslims is pretty clear. He even teaches his children how to use guns.
Only 3 shots.
What protection do you need?
If, like, somebody, like, breaks in, then we have that gun for safety.
Hold it tight, because it'll bounce up a little bit, okay? You ready?
Yep.
Chris and the GSF took part in a big local protest in September 2016. It was an armed demonstration against the proposed building of a mosque in Newton County. The protest raised security concerns, so the county government delayed granting the building permit. Chris invited me to his home. I was hoping that he and his friends might open up about their fears of Islam.
My biggest fear is, all I can think of is ISIS.
Like the terrorists and ISIS just starting a war.
The way Chris talked showed a serious lack of understanding of Islam, which is worrying but probably not uncommon.
I believe that it's a religious, ideological, and political organization that isn't just limited to religion. I think the Sharia law is what most members that read the Quran, that's what they advocate for. It's this judicial system. The Constitution does not allow for another governing system to come in and share the same space as the Constitution itself.
Chris believes firmly in the Second Amendment to the American Constitution about his right to hold arms. However, he didn't seem quite so keen on the First Amendment relating to the free exercise of religion.
To bring that something of that size and that scope to the outskirts of Newton County is alarming. It wasn't that it was just a mosque. It wasn't just elementary school. It wasn't just high school. It wasn't just a college. It wasn't just a burial ground. It was a compound, you know.
In 2015, the local Muslim community bought the land to build an Islamic center, Al Ma'ad, 56 kilometers from the state capital of Georgia, Atlanta.
It's not a gated compound. It should be just open space. If you see that this one, the yellow one, this is for mosque. You see that from here to here, 25 acres land. So we are using for maqbara or cemetery. And here's the 15 acres land, okay, for public park. Anyone can go. So this is our need. Some people are, the rumor, they're spreading that, look, what they will do with this 135 acres land. It's a huge, big land. They went inside the property, so they trespassed our property. And after that, they went to the courthouse when they threatened that they will stop the masjid project. They cannot do that because we know our right that any religious institution, we have the right to practice our religion. This is the law in constitution.
Local media coverage varied between support for and strong opposition to the mosque plans. When we were making this film, building work had not yet started. It was hard to see the project going ahead in the current U.S. climate. Not far from where Chris and the GSF were training, I visited a summer camp in rural Georgia. The young people there were all born in America, and I asked them about Donald Trump.
He's not a big fan of us, I would have to say. And it kind of scares me, honestly. Just knowing what's in the future for anyone that's not white and American, just in general, anyone that's like a minority, Muslims, like different races, so many different people, it worries me. And we don't know what's in store for us, but we'll see.
His supporters are constantly telling us, no, like, go back to your country. You don't belong here. This is our America.
My six-year-old brother, he was just like, oh, Amira, looks like we're going back home now. So it just really brings me to tears when my younger brothers, like, just think half the things he's going to do is going to happen.
We have a new president, but we don't have a new constitution. The rules are still the same. So it's our job to care to.
People here felt a strong sense of increasing Islamophobia in the U.S. Edward Mitchell was concerned about the image of Islam appearing in the mainstream media.
If I was not a Muslim and all I knew about Islam was what I saw in the evening news, you know, I might be afraid of Muslims too. So I don't blame the average people who don't know any Muslims who haven't studied Islam. I can understand why they might be confused or concerned. It's one thing to read anti-Muslim rhetoric on the internet or to see it on Fox News. It's another thing to hear it from the President of the United States. We're essentially defending ourselves in a two-front information war.
Parts of the right-wing media routinely speak quite negatively about Muslims and use powerful over emotive language.
I told you that you need to be afraid because they are coming for you. The ISIS assault, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria signals the beginning of the reverse crusade.
Apart from public broadcasting outlets, all US media are privately owned. According to 2012 Business Insider figures, six corporations own 90% of the media. General Electric, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, CBS, and News Corp, owners of Fox News. I tried to talk to someone from Fox, but my request was declined. Fox News is arguably the most extreme of the mainstream TV channels in its coverage of Islam.
Many conservatives now live in a bubble where they never hear anything outside of media that has a strong right-wing conservative bias. They've watched it so much that they have done what I call self-brainwashing. They have gone from being perhaps moderately conservative to being rabidly conservative. And so these very, very narrow, highly ideological news sources have taken over. I don't know what you do about that in a free society.
I was interested in the concept of how fear actually works. So I visited the psychology department of New York University. What are the subliminal forces at work in people's phobias? Dr. Joseph Dunsmore was going to conduct an experiment.
So in the experiment, you're going to see different pictures of faces. Right before the face goes away, you may receive the electrical shock to your right wrist. You feel that? Okay.
What Dr. Dunsmore was suggesting was that we can learn to fear someone we already have a prejudice against, making it harder then to overcome it.
Through media, we acquire fears of things that we don't have direct experience with, but that have been communicated to us. And we use the same defensive fear circuitry as if you were having that direct experience. This could extend also to news footage of terrorist attacks, things that people are seeing replayed on television. They're learning from these experiences, but they are also affecting the brain in similar ways as if it was a direct experience. This can lead to phobias. They're consuming high levels of media about terrorist attacks.
These are the main figures in the anti-Islamic movement in the U.S. First is lawyer David Yerushalmi, co-founder of the American Freedom Law Center. He's a prime mover in legislation aimed at banning Sharia law in the U.S. Then there is Daniel Pipes, who runs the Middle East Forum. His hostility to Islam and the Arab world meant his appointment to the United States Institute of Peace was almost blocked in 2003. The journalist and commentator Stephen Emerson runs the investigative project on terrorism, which has suggested there is a Muslim conspiracy to take over the U.S. I made email requests to interview these three men, as well as Robert Spencer and Frank Gaffney.
Can
Gaffney runs the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., and has suggested that mainstream Muslim organizations in the U.S. want to destroy it from within. He's closely connected to the Trump administration, and the president has used Gaffney's research center to justify his policies towards Muslims.
This is the ultimate goal of charges of Islamophobia: to stigmatize, demonize, marginalize, and ultimately criminalize criticism of Islam.
Robert Spencer has ties to Americans for National Existence with connections to Israel. His website, Jihad Watch, says its goal is to expose Islam and jihadists in the modern world. Spencer was barred by the UK for hate speech that could lead to inter-community violence. Spencer and Gaffney both turned down my requests for interviews. Robert Spencer works closely with an anti-Islamic campaigner in New York called Pamela Geller. Together, they run the American Freedom Defense Initiative, the AFDI, which ran a campaign against Muslims in 2015, costing $100,000. Geller is best known for having campaigned against a plan to build a mosque near the World Trade Center in 2009.
I opposed the building of a mega mosque in a building that was destroyed in the 9/11 attacks because it was deeply offensive and it was deeply humiliating. And it was uncalled for. I'm very happy that it was defeated. I think it would have been Mecca on the Hudson.
I asked Geller about her 2009 campaign outdoor and on the New York subway, which had upset a lot of Muslims, and where the funding for it had come from.
Well, I've done a number of campaigns, so I'm not sure which one you're referring to, but in general, if your question is, where do I get funding for all of my campaigns? It comes from average Americans. The majority comes from people. We may have had contributions from organizations. Off the top of my head, I mean, I don't have my paperwork with me. I don't spend a lot of time on fundraising at all. I don't look into who gives money to my organization. No.
In AFDI's 2013 tax return, the organization's income was shown as $958,000. In the same tax year, Jihad Watch's tax return showed a donation to AFDI for over $389,000. There seemed to be a well-funded set of interconnected groups working concertedly against the Muslim community in the U.S. and abroad. The movement now has a clear influence on government, which wasn't there before. It's also having an impact on American life. Trump's election is proof of that and been expressed on the streets of American cities. In August 2016, an imam and his assistant were shot and killed in public in Queens in New York City.
A lot of what's behind this crime and other hate crimes that have happened to American Muslims is the anti-Muslim rhetoric that continues day in and day out within the media.
Hear about the anti-Muslim rhetoric coming from the White House is this, that it could not only embolden anti-Muslim bigots, but also Muslim extremists.
I will absolutely take database on the people coming in from Syria. I've made it known. If I win, they're going back. We can't have them. They're going back.
Trump was talking about Syrians like Misbah and Malak, who were granted asylum in the U.S. after a two-year vetting process. Less than 2 months after their arrival, the future for them and their young son looked less certain under the new president.
طبعا بخاف رئيس الدولة أكيد بخاف إنه يهجرنا وين بده يأخذنا يعني طبعا وين بده نروح مش عارفين إنه بدي وين بده يأخذنا مش عارفين بيحكوا إنه اللاجئين اللي إجوا يشيلهم بعثتهم وين سوريا بعثنا سوريا وين
ترامب
بشار يعني
شو موقف ترامب ضدنا
نحن يعني هون جايين نعيش سلام أمان هيك
فقط
سلام والأمان بس.
Coming up, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn on his policy towards the families of extremists.
Well, are you kidding?
Yes. Just wanted to share that information with you. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And if you notice, there was a lot of presence for Georgia, for those of us in Georgia, right out there in Newton County. People out there practicing. They say ISIS, but, you know, they won't be able to distinguish who is ISIS. They see a flag saying La ilaha illallah, which is, again, a banner that ISIS has co-opted, but it is the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you have calligraphy in Arabic, they may think you're ISIS. Your thoughts, 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891. And again, I'm asking you to send out prayers to the masjid in Bloomington, Minnesota, which was bombed. And then as the worshipers were getting ready for the Fajr prayer, and again, as I stated earlier, there's been no messages of condolences as I know of. You heard of anything, let me know, from the White House. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant in our communities and sisters who are, in many instances, more visible. We have to be very careful in your movements. Because many of the brothers, you know, we go, I call it incognito, and we don't necessarily wear clothing that may identify us as a Muslim. It's not required, of course. We navel from to the knees is the coverage for the man. But living in a majority non-Muslim society, it's important that we identify ourselves. So if there's going to be a target, let it be a brother, as opposed to our sisters who cover as required by Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, it's so if they need a target, let's make us the targets, and as opposed to the cowards going after our women. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1, and we'll bring you up. You're listening to Muslim Vibe. We've been playing a program from Al Jazeera, which Islamophobia in America, and our brother who I just sat with this morning, brother. You know, Ahmed Edward Mitchell, who is the CARE representative. And what he's been doing, I know today he had to leave our meeting and go speak at a church where he does Islam 101 series. And several, the man is very active. I'm very pleased with him. He's part of the new young leadership that's rising up, and he's the local CARE representative, the Council of American Islamic Relations. And he's a former prosecutor. He's an attorney. And he has a good helper in Sister Asma, who is the outreach coordinator. And so when we look at when they were talking to Pamela Geller, and Pamela Geller is one of the major Islamophobes, Frank Gaffney, there was mentioned, was Stephen Emerson, Daniel Pipes, and others. And I call them all terror pimps, because what they'll tend to do is that they will basically scare the average American that there's this great Muslim boogeyman coming after you. And they just pimp it, and they make their living going around scaring people. I had the dishonor of seeing Daniel Pipes. I wanted to just see if he was for real. And it was real interesting that it was the non-Muslims who shut him down. I went to see David Horowitz, the same thing. The non-Muslims shut him down. So we have a lot of support, a lot of friends in the non-Muslim community. You have a lot of good people in this country who will support us, you know, for the most part, because they see the injustice. And what makes the difference is that person-to-person contact. Sheikh Tahir Wyatt was in town last week, and I'll see if we can upload his speech to the Muslim Vibe Facebook page. But one of the points he made is that we just need to be neighborly, feed our neighbors, be friendly towards the neighbors, give the greetings to our neighbors, and just be, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that your neighbors are anybody that lives 40 houses in any direction, 40 houses in any direction. And so if that's the case, every person on the planet is a neighbor to a Muslim. And so that was one of the main points, because he talked about the fact that, as they mentioned, six corporations control 90% of the information that the Americans consume, just six corporations. And many of those corporations are funded by Zionist organizations, ran by Zionists. And when you look at the money, like even with Pamela Geller and other groups, a lot of the money is tied to Zionist organizations. And one of the roles of the Zionists, I'm not talking about the Jews, because the Zionists will come out against Jews too. You know, many of the, there are many Zionists who are atheists. You know, so they'll use Judaism as a means of trying to accomplish their goals. But Zionists aren't necessarily religious people. That's the point I'm making. They are political people. And, you know, their goal in this country is to try to demonize Muslims and Islam. And so it gets to the point when you get somebody who has who's a loose cannon, and they go and throw an IED into a masjid. You know, so they will just basically hope that, you know, these loose cannons will just do things like that. So, you know, these are some of the things that we have to look at. Again, you can call in at 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891. I'm Imam Nadeem Suleiman Ali. If you have a question or comment, we have a few minutes left, and you're in tune to Muslim Vibe. You're in tune to Muslim Vibe, and we've been playing the program, Islamophobia in America. And so let's you know, see what some of the comments were on this particular program. And again, and it's really interesting that here you had a Muslim who went, and he was with basically people who are anti-Muslim. He out in the woods with them, and they got guns. Assalamu alaikum. We had the caller from the 770.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Nadeem Ali. I'm laughing at the absurdity of all of this again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so absurd.
And the brother had a lot of heart going out in the woods with them people. Ain't nowhere in the world.
Yes, sir.
I would have to be dressed for the occasion if I went out and went out
sir,
in the woods with
yes,
them.
I had to comment because, you know, this is the antithesis of America's they are the originators of terrorists, but they want to always demonize someone else who is not. And everyone should know by now ISIS is the CIA. It is absurd that
and Israeli intelligence.
These people still think that they can fool the public. I mean, it is common knowledge. It's obvious that these groups are not Muslim. They pretend to be. These ISIS and these other folk, I can't even remember the real Al-Qaeda and all these other idiots. I mean, we have terrorists in sheep clothing from the inception of America. And you know, to me, the question that I have is, haven't they done enough? Don't they see from history that they cannot win, that Allah is not going to allow oppression continuously forever? It has to be destroyed. These same people claimed to be religious and all of that. The Klan said that they were Christian. They terrorized our people for centuries. When the majority of Muslims were brought over in this country forcibly for slavery, most of them were Muslim. They were snatched away from their culture, their God, their identity, and they beat the Islam out of our ancestors. I mean, if we just only research and look at history, and as they say, if you do not know your history, you are doomed to repeat it. It is time for the public, and most of the public is waking up. They're more awake than these people give them credit for. But to still try to instill fear and hate mongering with the public is futile. It cannot be. It is proven to be futile. And as you were saying, and as the journalists were saying, I heard some of it because I had calls in and out. You know, most of the media that is owned by this country is Zionist connected, or we have the top Islamophobes, fear mongers, hate mongers, whatever you want to call them. They are the ones that fund this hate Islamophobia in the society. They fund it. I mean, they are not religious. Zionists are not religious. They hate their own fellow Jews for standing up for the right. So these people we have hate mongers on all sides in all the religious faith, because we have some of the so-called Muslims who practice discrimination against us African Americans. So I mean, it's and you have some of these people that they're the same ones that are deemed so-called Islamic experts or terrorism experts. And I'm so glad I don't even have my TV. I haven't had my TV on for years. I don't even want to watch it. I'm telling you, I have a TV sitting up here and it's not connected. So because there's nothing on of any socially redeeming value. I look at the alternative media. I listen to AM 360 24/7. I have it on always. And look at our Islamic media and one of the local stations here in Atlanta, 1380 WALK. This is where I get my news and information that goes all over the country. I mean,
young folks say they get their comedy from Fox News and they get their news from Comedy Central. The Daily Show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know,
I just had to comment and say
Twitter.
That.
I appreciate you. And you keep listening to Wa'alaikum Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You take care of yourself.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And again, that's the main thing, is that we have to, as they say, not only get woke, but stay woke. Because if there's a masjid out in Minnesota, and we look at right near Atlanta, there's people plotting. They say to protect the state from ISIS, like ISIS is going to come and take over something. But they won't be able to tell, ISIS from anybody. They see a sister in the Kaab, or if they see a brother who wears a turban or, dressed in what would be considered Islamic dress, then they may have a reaction. Specifically, if you have someone who has come back from one of these wars, and whether it's Afghanistan or whether it's in Iraq or even, the silent war that's going on in Syria, and they come back with mentally ill, dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so, then they may be triggered in many instances to attack a Muslim group or Muslim organization. We have the Eid coming up. And so we have to be very aware, and again, not paranoid, but vigilant. Until next time, my brothers and sisters, I say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. And as always, you remain very close to me. And as Sami Youssef says, you are my
Ummah. رسول الله متي even though be straight from him and his way. My brother, my sister in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray, if we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah.
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رائزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أمى رائزك لتقد لعتك وانسك نسبيك رم حولك proud again cause I swear with thunder leaf in our hearts we can bring back the glory of our fall. My Ummah, he will say, Rasulullah, even though he's straight from him and his will. Look at where we were, look at where we are, tell me. Is this how he'd wanted to be? Oh no, let's bring back our glory. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أمى رائزك لتقد لعتك وانسك Mm-hmm.